Readers Entertainment Radio presents Book Lights with your host, author Lisa Kessler. Book Lights, where we're shining a light on good books.
Hey, we're back. It's Monday. It's a new week. And I just got back from the California Dreamin' Writers Conference last night, so I'm a little, my brain's a little foggy, so everyone has to be patient with me today. Thanks for listening in. I'm really excited about our author today. It's Katherine Hudson, and she writes sci-fi fantasy, so she's obviously very smart, right? and if you don't know Katherine, I'm going to read her bio for you right now, and then we'll get to know her. So Katherine was born and raised in Colorado, adopted by South Carolina, and at home in Vermont. Katherine has been writing fiction for 18 years, editing for 8, and plunging in and out of reality since she first became aware of the concept. Katherine specializes in sci-fi and fantasy with a smattering of short stories that weave in and out of literary fiction. In addition to writing exquisitely dark fiction, which we all know I love, Katherine runs her own independent editing company. It's called KLH Create Works for fiction novels of all genres. She also serves as fiction co-editor for Burlington, Vermont's Mud Season Review Literary Magazine. So needless to say, she doesn't have time to do anything she doesn't enjoy. Katherine keeps a vast collection of single earrings and wears them. Oh my God, I have quite a collection of those. Has fulfilled her dream of naming one of her dogs Bruce Willis and can't remember the last time she didn't laugh at one of her own jokes. I can relate to that too. I did put a link to Katherine's website and also her Facebook page right there on the Blog Talk page. So if you're listening live or to the podcast, you can click that anytime and sign up for her newsletter, get involved on her Facebook page. She does post there regularly. So I think you're going to love her book. So Katherine, you there?
I'm here, Lisa. Hi.
Hi. I'm so glad you could be on today all the way from Vermont, Burr.
Yes. Bad up here. Getting better. I'm super glad to be here. Thank you so much.
Well, you had a book come out recently, Sleepwater Beat, and we were talking about it before the show, but it sounds like a really fascinating, cool new sci-fi series. So can you tell us about it? Why should people go buy it this week?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, first of all, this week, I am actually running a promotion on Sleepwater Beat, so it'll be 99 cents this week starting on Thursday, the 11th, so you can grab it really discounted on Thursday. And so Sleepwater Beat is kind of my first foray into something that is far more science fiction than it is fantasy. You know, high fantasy and epic fantasy are traditionally where I lean towards the most. But I like to describe Sleepwater Beat as a mashup mixture of like the girl with the dragon tattoo and X-Men stuck together. Very near future. Yeah, kind of like this dystopian version of, you know, 30, 40 years in the future. It's got a little bit of superpowers in it, which is, the main character, Leo, and these people that she meets, this underground organization called Sleepwater. They all have this, it's sort of a genetic mutation, I suppose, that gives them the power to elicit physical responses in people who listen to them speak with certain types of words, and they call it the beat. It was actually super fun to write, and I love it. It's the first book in the Blue Helix series, and it, you know, dives into a whole bunch of ethics, so to speak, and, you know, genetic experimentation and government agencies and guerrilla warfare, and Leo gets caught up in the middle of all of it and is trying to find out how the heck she's going to find a place to belong amid all the other finding a place to belong with these other people who can do things that she can do when she still feel like she belongs anywhere. It's incredibly fun. Tons of action. It's a little more of a sci-fi thriller than anything else, I think. It's got an LGBT romance in there, and it's a little bit of everything, really.
Nice. So what gave you the idea to make physical reactions with her voice? Where did that come from?
You know, it honestly came from just an idea I had about, you know, someone being able to make a person believe absolutely anything they said, right? And I think there have been some superpower type things approaching that specific ability in a couple of TV series that I've seen. I can't even think of their names now, but this book actually started out as a short story that it was an experiment, really, nothing else. And it was like 30 pages of all these different scenes, and I literally made an outline of each scene and like a bullet point for each scene on an outline, and I cut it up into strips and rearranged them, and so they were all completely out of order, and it didn't really work. So my writers group at the time, they were critiquing the story, and they actually gave me the full inspiration to turn that awful short story failed experiment into an entire book, which is now going to be continued in the rest of the series. The book is a standalone, but the story will continue with the other books.
Very cool.
And then it just became, yeah, it became everybody else has an ability to, elicit those physical responses in people who hear their words, and everyone has a different kind of power, wherein comes the X-Men kind of thing, you know. It's very,
right.
Very fun.
Is it all with their voice, though?
It is all with their voice. Some of them, you know, they choose when they use it, and some of them have to say specific words and specific orders to specific people.
Nice.
Yeah, it's all words. Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. I actually, my Moon series, Werewolf series, was all started by a short story. The first chapter had been a short story, and I was supposed to be writing something else, and I couldn't stop thinking about it. So in between, I wrote the book, and then I realized, oh, my gosh, it's a whole series. So it all came from a short story. So anybody out there who's listening, write those short stories, because you never know.
Right. It's true. I definitely feel like my strength in writing lies more in novels than in short stories. So it makes sense to me that that short story didn't work out the way I wanted it to, but turning it into a novel was a good idea.
Well, it really wanted to be a book.
It did. It so did.
So I also saw over on your Facebook page that you have a pre-order going up tomorrow for like a joint venture box set with a bunch of authors, right?
Oh, yes. This is super fun. It's a Playing with Fire box set being put out by Firequill Publishing. Pre-orders go live tomorrow. We've got 12 USA Today and international bestselling authors all together with each of us has a book in this box set. And pre-orders go live tomorrow for 99 cents. It's a Forbidden Love type thing. I think something you would probably really enjoy, Lisa.
I'm sure.
I've got the it's a prequel to my new dark fantasy series. The series is called Vessel Broken, and this prequel is The Summoner Thief, and that will be in this box set as well. And I'm so super excited for it. Writing the series has been so much fun, and it may just be the darkest thing I have written to date, so it's even more exciting.
Nice. So it's a dark love story, or you said forbidden love. Are they fantasy romances, or what are they?
Yeah, they are mostly, you know, fantasy, and then there's paranormal romance, and I think there is at least one sci-fi book in there as well. And
nice.
You know, that, yeah, we play with themes of unrequited love or forbidden love and taboo in the dark, and you know, breaking all the rules. And The Summoner's Thief, it's more about my main character's desire to destroy everything around her to get what she wants, including whoever that love interest happens to be. Yeah, you'll have to. Yeah, people will have to read it to find out.
That's right. So it's a prequel to books that you already have out.
No, those books are coming out later. So actually, the first book in Vessel Broken series is Imlock Fractured, and that will be out actually in September this year. The box set Playing with Fire is coming out in October. So the next two books in the series will be out probably the beginning of 2020 next year. So it's all kind of happening at the same time.
Right? We were talking off the air that when we were dreaming of getting published, the dream was more that we get to work on one thing at a time, and then it would not happen at once, and then the dream happens, and you're like,
Right. The dream can always get better. At least it keeps us, you know, it keeps us honest and still on the road to improvement. There's always something better to chase down, which I'm so grateful for.
That's true. very, very true. So do you self-publish these? Do you have a publisher? Are you hybrid?
I indie publish these all on my own. Exquisite Darkness Press is my imprint, and that is, you know, my publishing business. That's what
Perfect.
I'm doing. I write full-time. What's that? I'm sorry?
I said it's your baby.
Oh, yes, it definitely is. We've been doing pretty well, I'd say. I did query so many traditional agents when before I published my first book, and that was Daughter of the Dragon in 2015, and I got so many rejections. And I was like, okay, well, I want to put this out there. I'm going to put it out there. And it ended up being a bestseller on Amazon about a year later, which is very cool. And Sleepwater Beat was the only other book that I queried as well. Got a bunch of rejection letters for that. And it was also a bestseller, like, I think even before it actually released, during the pre-order period, it hopped up onto the charts too.
Nice.
So that was very cool. And, you know, there's always a chance that if an opportunity to become a hybrid author came my way, I would probably take it. But I really enjoy indie publishing and kind of holding the reins on every single aspect of it, like we were talking about beforehand, too. It's starting to be a lot.
Yeah, having that control is wonderful, but man, it's a lot of work. I'm hybrid, so I have one series with a publisher and one series that I do myself, and it is really hard work to indie publish. I'm like, oh my gosh, there's so many balls in the air, I can't keep track.
Right. It's true.
I had a book that came out earlier, and I got it edited, I got it ready, and then all of a sudden I went, oh my gosh, I have no cover. Because I had put it up for pre-order with cover coming soon. I had so many things going. I'm like, oh my gosh, I have no cover.
You got to do it now. That's a little
My poor cover artist. Right? Yeah, my poor cover artist. I'm like, could we do it in a week? Yikes.
That's so funny. That's
the behind the curtain of indie publishing. It goes very smooth
right.
all the time.
Yes. And we always know what we're doing from beginning to end.
Exactly. We keep a tight calendar and the schedule, and it just goes like clockwork.
That's why we do it. That is why we do it.
That's right. So you have an editing business, too, on the side. Does that make it difficult for you to write? Because I have an editor for my IndiePub books, and she writes on the side sometimes, too, but she finds it, like, super hard because her inner editor is constantly going, can you turn yours off so you can write and then turn it on when you need it?
Yeah,
how do you work with that?
Right. That's a great question, and I actually – somehow I have developed an ability to switch from editor mode to writer mode whenever I need to, which is really fantastic. Working in both capacities has improved my editing skills and has improved my writing skills, which I'm so grateful for, and it's incredible. Both of them have just gotten so much better since I started either one. But when I sit down to write, I'm sitting down to write. And I actually write fairly clean first drafts, which some writers may hate me for saying, but I go through a few rounds of it afterwards to edit it once I've finished, and I'll send it to my editor, and I mean I'm sending it to my alpha readers all the time as I'm writing it, and beta readers get it as well, and you know, of course everybody catches things. You have to have more than your own eyes on anything you write.
But
when I sit down to write, I'm sitting down to write. And then when I edit, it's a completely different mindset, which is great. And I really like the ability to be able to say, okay, I'm really drained from writing. I'm going to edit for an hour or two right now and still be productive, but not wear myself into the ground. I enjoy them both very much. And since I have made writing my priority and my full-time job, you know, I'm doing that 90% of the time. So the editing comes in, on the side. But I still very much enjoy it. Yeah, and I've got such great relationships with my clients. So it's something I don't want to let go.
Yeah, well, it's cool, though, that you can turn it off and on, because I just got back from that writer's conference, and I'm not a plotter, and so I did a workshop on what if you don't plot. Oh, there we go. Panthers unite.
Yeah.
But I did a workshop on what if you don't plot, and it was really a bunch of tips to, you know, keep going so you don't get stuck. And one of the things was that I edit as I go. So every two chapters, I go back and edit so that I can be brave enough to promise myself, I will go back and edit in two chapters. If it's wrong, I'll only lose two chapters so that I can keep going. And do you make deals like that with yourself, too, that I promise to edit it, but for now we're just moving forward?
Yeah, well, basically it's I really, really, really need to write this many words today. So I need to just keep going. And most of the time I am successful in that. It took a long time for me to be successful in that. But now it's you know, okay, Catherine, you're sitting down for 5 hours today. This is what you're writing. Get it done. You can go back to it when the whole thing is finished. Figure it out later. It's been working fairly well.
Good. That's so cool. Why fantasy and sci-fi? Is there any other genre that you're, you know, dying to try someday?
Not that I'm dying to try someday, no. I may dabble in something else. Who knows? You know, I never know what I'm going to be doing next until I start it. I do have some plans, but fantasy was the first thing that I started reading, when I was a kid, when I was very young. And I didn't actually read a lot of like kid, I think I spent maybe a couple years on like probably the older end of what's now middle grade before it was called middle grade. But I quickly moved on to adult fantasy. And, you know, I read Stephen King's It when I was 10. So I went through a lot of fantasy and a lot of sci-fi.
So you still don't hang out with clowns?
No, I never have. I've even before that, never liked them.
Even before it.
But, right. Yeah. See what you did. I always loved fantasy. It was such a great escape, you know. Even writing it as well, it's still a great escape. And I even more now enjoy the challenge of creating that vast and complex fantastical escape for readers while also making it real, right? Keeping real characters and putting those puzzle pieces together as a panther of how to bring these characters through this story and make it entertaining and fun and hopefully heart-wrenching and terrifying and maybe sometimes depressing. That's the part I love, and I also absolutely hate research and having to fact check things, you know, like
so
in the real world.
So that
sure does. I don't have to look up a thing, and I love it. I do have to go back and fact check myself and make sure that I haven't written any loopholes into my own world, but I don't have to research anything, which is great. I did have to do a little bit of that for Sleepwater Beat, which was an exercise for sure in patience. I have always loved fantasy, and I always have enjoyed, you know, the magical pieces, just a different world. I think when I started reading and writing it, I was bored with life.
Right.
Fantasy and sci-fi, you know, open up a whole different world, right?
Right. Yeah. So did you read The Phantom Tollbooth?
Oh, absolutely. I think my fourth grade or fifth grade teacher, first grade, I don't know, one of my elementary school teachers read it to us in class.
Nice. She's a great teacher.
I think it was the same teacher or another one maybe who read The Giver to us too, and it was like right before it went through the whole banned book thing. I had teachers reading fantasy to me, and my dad would take me to Barnes & Noble every day after school, and we'd spend like couple hours in Barnes & Noble, and he'd read, you know, two or three books in those couple of hours, and I would just, like, go through all the fantasy books in those bookshelves at Barnes & Noble, and they were so wonderful. I loved it.
Right? So when did you know you wanted to be a writer? What was your writing journey like?
Oh, I started writing when I was 10, on my 10th birthday. I'd been having this reoccurring nightmare about not being able to change the ending to my favorite movie at the time, which is Fern Gully. And I wanted the ending to be different so badly. And I finally woke up one day and I was so frustrated that I couldn't change the story. And then I was like, I should just start writing something. And then I started writing my own book about fairies, and it was really dark, and there was a lot of destruction and terror and tragedy in it. I never finished the book, but I had typed up this huge, gigantic stack of printed pages. It's actually when I learned how to type, too, so I type tested when I'm like doing a test, right, the typing test, I type 110 words a minute, which is super awesome. I don't type that quickly when I'm writing, but I would like to. But I learned how to type, and I started writing that way. And then just from there, you know, I finished Daughter of the Draken and Mother of the Draken, my first two books in the in his children duology when I was in high school. And so I wrote all the time in high school in my notebooks, and my teachers thought I was so studious, taking notes. I was just writing my book. But I always wanted to do that. I knew immediately when I graduated high school that I wanted to go to college for a bachelor's in creative writing fiction. And I just kind of followed it from there, you know. And then I did want to get my PhD in creative writing also. And life took me down a different path, as it so often does. But I'm doing what I wanted to do now anyways, full-time as my job. So it worked out very well. And so, yeah, it's been, you know, almost. Yeah,
a winding road, but you got where you were going.
I wanted to do this. Exactly. Yeah,
yeah.
I did eventually. Yeah.
You said earlier that you had, in the beginning, you had a critique group. Were you in any writing groups, or how did you figure out your craft and all that, or was that college?
Oh, well, that was partially in college. College was actually the first time that I ever experienced what it was like to write something awful. And to have people tell me that it was awful.
Tell you.
No, it was wonderful. It was a wonderful experience because, like, I think the point of it was what I gained from it. You know, we had to write short stories for our main creative writing classes and turn them in, and then we workshopped them in class. And I remember writing this one story that was just, it was so shallow and just vague, and it approached so many different deep topics but never actually went into it, and I knew it was crap. And I turned it in anyway. and then you know, the other students in my class just tore it to shreds, and like the whole time I was like, yep, there is nothing here to save. Like I know it's awful. But it was a great learning experience for me, because then I was like, it cemented in my head, okay, Catherine, not everything you write is going to be absolute gold. So you need to actually pay attention and work on it and, like, you know, do this with intention, and not write something like this again. Try as hard as you can not to. So that was incredibly helpful. And then I did have a Glee writer's workshop group that I met with in Charleston, South Carolina, when I lived there with my husband, and they were fantastic. There were only five of us. You know, we met every Monday, and it was such a fantastic group. And yeah, they were the ones who questioned the failed Sleepwater Beat short story, and they got so excited about it that it fueled my excitement to actually turn it into a novel. And that's what I did after some extensive hacking and slashing and dicing and major surgery on the short story. But I think I would say, yeah, those two, college and that creative writing workshop group in Charleston, were the two most influential institutions perhaps that helped me hone my craft. And then the rest of it has just been the experience of writing, right? And also actually all the editing I do as well. It's all of it comes together.
Yeah. Well, I'm so excited for you with your new box set and your new book, and I can't believe our half an hour is running out. Everybody who's listening, don't forget, right? Time flies. Sleepwater Beat, don't forget to go grab a copy, and it's going to be on sale on Thursday, so don't miss out. And do you have anything else that you want readers to connect with you on, your newsletter, your Facebook page? Am I missing anything?
Yeah. You can sign on to my newsletter from my Facebook page. It's Catherine Hudson Fiction. I'm on Instagram with that handle as well, and KLH Create Works on Twitter. And sign up to my newsletter. I've got so many awesome things I'm sending out to my subscribers right now that nobody else gets to see for like another 8 or 9 months. So that's a pretty cool thing. I'd love to see you subscribe and check me out. And I do live videos every Wednesday morning at 10 o'clock. I didn't this week because I'm going on vacation tomorrow. But you can come talk to me and listen to me review some of my favorite books and talk about hilarious things. And I talk with my hands a lot, so you can actually see me. yeah, and my website is katherinehudsonfiction.com. That's where I am.
Thanks for joining us on Book Life.
All right.
Be sure to connect with us at www.readersentertainment.com for articles, blogs, videos, and podcasts that matter to readers.